5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, 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 good evening, good evening. It is the new Panic Room, episode 282 on the 14th of July, 2022. And it is. It's been another week. It has. It's, they're just flying by, they really are, but it's the middle of summer, and it is like, it's about 111 degrees, I think, here today, so a bit of a warm one. And speaking of hot stuff...
Thank you.
Well, yee-haw and yippee-dee-dee, Christina. Ooh, how are you? I think we're safe to say we're both a little bit tired this evening. I'm cheated a little bit. I was out for a seriously big Mexican dinner, so it was a client meeting. It was a client meeting, which is great because it means tax write off Mexican dinner. So I absolutely stuffed my face. Had a frozen margarita with, I think it was 80% tequila, to be honest with you, but it was good.
Nice.
It was nice. I'll spoil myself, why not?
I spent the day trying to keep my eyes open, so that was, and I failed miserably, so, and you'd think I'd be wide awake now because I spent most of the day, snoozing, but not so, so, I'm feeling a little tired today, and I'm so happy that it's Friday
it's gonna
again.
It's funny. And part of me, I'm ready for the weekend, but part of me is thinking, it's come around far too fast. I still got a shit ton of stuff to do. Plus, I've got stuff stacked up for the weekend. I've got some housey stuff I need to do at the weekend. Which to be fair, I love doing all of that, but it's just like I could do it just having about what I need, which is to be fair is why I picked the opening song is because I was reminds me of sitting on the beach doing nothing. I need to do that for a week. I need to go sit on the beach, just catch up on some reading, snooze, drink margaritas, whatever, and just watch the ocean for a week.
That sounds wonderful. Yes.
Doesn't it just make me? I mean, obviously, have some sex as well. That would be great. That would be nice. maybe even with someone. But I don't want to push my luck. I can't remember the last time I had a break. The concept is alien to me. I mean, I'm talking years, literally years, since I even had a few days. Unless you count being ill, I got COVID back before it was popular and every fucker had it, and I probably had a week where I just wasn't really up to it.
Couldn't
but
function.
That's not really it's not really a play, is it? Because you're not feeling well. It would be nice just to. I think I need that, but it's just when, it's just things are just so busy at the moment, and that is when you're unemployed, you think, I can take a week off, but that's a week of, not making any money and that, and it's just scary, I don't know.
I had a birthday this week, and last
weekend...
Yes, you did.
Happy birthday for Monday, wasn't
it? Thank you. Yeah, it was Monday, and the boyfriend whisked me away for a nice overnight in Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, I think we're at, which is, one of my favorite places on Earth. It's just... I love it there. As soon as we get close, I'm just excited.
Yeah, it's a great blessing,
It's wonderful. Yeah. And then,
You didn't take the kids, did you?
No, this is the best part. The kids were here at home, and they were cleaning the house. And I'm talking about a deep cleaning where it was nice. I had a nice, weekend. I come home to a clean house. I mean, things were just wonderful. I felt so special. I did.
Oh,
it was great.
That's nice. We've got to do a bit of cleaning this weekend because unfortunately the house doesn't clean itself. That's something nobody told me.
I know.
Houses don't magically clean themselves. So, and of course certainly having the dogs, dust is a big problem because they go out and they run around the backyard and they bring all the dust in and then it just settles everywhere. It's one of those things. I'd rather have the dogs and some dust than a spotless house and no, because I love my puppies. I love my puppies, lots and lots.
And they're so much
better than people. Yeah, we do. I mean, they're not massive. I mean, the pups. I mean, the two pups who are they're a year year old this on the 23rd. They're a year old. They're actually bigger than their mama now. You know, they're taller, and one of them is got pretty chunky.
I love the picture of your exploded pillow. The exploded pillow that you sent, it was, you know.
Yeah, it just automatically exploded by itself, and the puppies had nothing to do with it, probably.
Nothing.
But it's funny they know, because I forget where I'd been now, I haven't been far, came in, and they know that the two pups were nowhere to be seen. They were sort of hiding behind the couch, around the corner of the couch, on the bottom stair, like, oh, shit. Do you think he'll notice? And as you saw, it was just absolutely everywhere. Absolutely. Yeah. They had a right good time, I'll give them that. Had a proper good time with it. But I used to have a lot of cushions, but over the years, between the dogs, they're just totally destroyed. And I wouldn't mind, but I'd literally just spent I spent nearly $100 on dog toys, on chew toys. And so, no, thanks, we've got all these nice new toys. Thanks, Dad. We're going to destroy the cushion now.
Yes.
You have dogs, you know, you spend all that money on them to keep them occupied, and they destroy you, or they bring a stick in from outside, and like that's the best thing ever. They choose, and then there's bits of stick everywhere. Seriously?
Well, no matter
but
how
you
much
know
we
what?
Spend on
They're
dogs,
happy.
On dogs. Yeah, that's true. You know, no matter how much we spend on the dog toys, on the ones with the squeakers, our dogs will tear them up within an hour. An hour, they're demolished. And I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. We spent $30 on this? You know, it just...
I know.
Yeah, it's like they have to kill it. Right.
Well, I used to buy these... Yeah, and they were like I've got one. It was made from ballistic material. This stuff stops bullets. And it was like, you know, triple stitched, indestructible. I'll give him its due. It took them nearly a week, but that went too. The squeaker was out. The guts were everywhere, and it was destroyed. Yeah, probably it lasted about a week. And like you say, that thing was $30-$40. Now I get the rope toys. The hard chew toys. They love the rope toys with a little tire in the middle. They take it in turns. They sit and chew up the bit. Then there's bits of black rubber tire everywhere. Well, it keeps them occupied. It does keep them occupied. I'm going to get a couple more of those this weekend. But anything stuffed or with a squeaker in it, I just don't bother now. Because like you say, they last seconds. You know, the cheaper ones. Because sometimes at the PetSmart here, they'll have like a bargain bin, you know, like $5 for a stuffed thing, and every now and then I'll get one, just knowing it's going to be in pieces in you know, no time at all, and then I'm on my hands and knees picking all the fluff up off the floor, but they enjoy it.
Yeah, as long as we
But they still destroy the cushions, and there's a couple of bits of furniture the pups chewing on. I think they get it from their mum, the pit. She was a chewer. Uh-huh. I mean, she was an incessant. It's funny, I've got one of my bedposts, just when she started sleeping on my bed. And I remember just laying there hearing, what is that noise? What is that noise? And she was gnawing on the bloody bedpost. And now, you know, when I have ladies around, I tell them, you know, I'm that magnificent at sex, that some woman chewing on the bedpost because I was so brilliant at sex, you know.
That's true.
So, you know, it's there. It's sort of a badge of honour now. What have we got on the show this evening?
I am excited. You know, I don't know how many weeks ago I was talking to the lovely Samantha, and she was like, you know, have you read this book? And she was all excited, and I was like, no, I haven't yet. So she's like, you have to get the author on. So I reached out to her and begged her, and lo and behold, she's here with us tonight. So I'm going to introduce her. And
yeah.
We'll just, yeah.
You do that.
So, tonight our guest of the evening is extreme horror author A.C. Witt. Woo!
Hello.
Woo.
Woo.
Hello.
Woo. Okay, calm down. We're good. How are you? How are you all?
Oh, I'm tired as well. I've been trying to get naps in through the day because I'm about 2 hours past my bedtime.
I hear that.
So where are you coming from? You kind of have a sort of role going on there.
Where am I calling from? I'm in South Carolina.
Yeah, not too far, not
yes,
too far.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you are.
No, we're just all the southern people here. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that southern people are so nice. I grew up in upstate New York, and I was in Florida for a while, and that's really not north. I mean, really not south. But people are so freaking nice in the south. And I think if you're a northerner or something, when you first get around it, you're suspicious. You're like, what did they want? Why are they being so nice? And then you just kind of accept it, and it's really pretty cool. There's many times we'll go somewhere, and I'll just be like, oh my gosh, they were whoever it was, just so nice. And even if it's phony or whatever, I still love it. I do. I really love it. So
I remember I worked at Belk forever and a long time ago, but I had somebody come to my register that was from New York, and she was like, wow, you're really nice.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge difference. I know we had a guest on the show who I believe she was from up north, but now she lives, in the south. And she was saying that she went, I guess they had a road trip, and she got to a certain point where, it was like a switch almost, where, the further they got north, you would tell a huge difference in just how people treated you and how they acted. And it's sad. Why can't everybody be nice,
Oh, yeah. It's something I would like to experience one day, because I swear I haven't been, anywhere except for, a few surrounding states. I feel like I've just mm-hmm. been sheltered in this area.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're not missing much, because the rest of the world is mean. But I do have to say I don't love the heat. It does get pretty hot here, but not like James. He's over there in Texas, and when I complain about how hot I am here, he's like, really? You should get a sweater, because that's kind of nippy here.
Oh my goodness. But I don't know. My whole, all day today, all I did was stay outside. Now I have 30 plus chickens. I have turkeys. I have a peacock. And so I was cleaning coops all day, and then I had to cut 2 acres of grass. So yeah, I was burning alive.
Wow. But the farm life, how cool is that?
Oh, God, I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, that's why you're tired. She probably gets up at 5 in the morning or something. I'm so sorry to keep you up.
Then I have to make it to the gym too, early, so I can rest my day.
Right. So, AC, you are here to talk to us about your book, Keeping Adam's Secrets. Tell us a little bit about it.
So, I went in this book. Really didn't have to think much about it. It's a very gory book. If you can't read anything with animal torture or animal abuse or anything like that, then, I definitely tell people to step away from it. I don't want you to go and read my book and be traumatized, But it came totally natural to me to write this book, just because is so loosely based off my childhood, actually. So, you know, I grew up in rough situations, and I have, you know, post-trauma in my life, and I was diagnosed with complex PTSD. So, you know, like, this book was just a complete outlet for me to just pour out every bit of my anger that I had inside of me. And so, yeah, it just kind of spewed out.
I like how you said that, just a way to get the anger out. I write poetry, and my first poetry book was kind of like that. It was just an outlet, and I got out all the nastiness, all the hurt and the pain and everything, and it seemed like once, you know, it's written down, it's almost like a purge. You know, you feel like a weight's lifted off of you, and you can look back on certain things, and they no longer hurt as much as they did. So I do think that if more of the world would harness that, you know, writing or something, that they would be a lot better equipped to deal with the crap that, you know, we have to deal with. So yeah, I definitely applaud you. Yeah. I've not finished this yet, but I've definitely started it. And, you know, with you saying that it's based loosely off your childhood makes you go, oh, my goodness. Wow, especially, you know.
It's like, oh.
Right. You know, I talked to Samantha. She was the one who was like, you have to get her on the show. And, you know, Sam was like, this book was pretty, you know, pretty extreme. And it's another thing I always think about. Whenever we have an extreme horror writer on, they are so nice and so sweet. And you're like, and you're hiding all of this in your brain, really?
Right, yeah. It's all packed back in there somewhere. Yeah,
but I think I do think that you're more adjusted, though, the people who can write about it and get it out. People who keep it inside, they're the ones who are actually going to go out and, you know, hurt someone, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's a therapy for sure. I completely agree with that. But, yeah, these people that just kind of get balled up, like you were saying, I think those are the ones that kind of just explode one day.
Right. I think we had an excerpt that you were going to read for us.
Yeah, so I picked this part to read because the book is a novella, so it's short. With it already being short, I wrote the book to be extremely fast-paced because that's just me and how I like things to roll. I have had negative reviews about it. Like, you know, some people don't like it because it's so fast-paced. But that's just me. That's what I like. So
right.
I wanted to read this part because it just doesn't give too much away. And it's kind of a funny part in the book, really, I think. I don't know. That's my personal opinion, I guess.
Just go for it.
So I'll go ahead. All right. We wore our all-black clothing, just like everyone expects a morning person to do, and we cried our tears. Over the next couple of weeks, people were still dropping by the house to bring their best casserole dishes, because that seems to be the standard as well. I'm not really sure of the thought process behind this either. Do they bring food because they think you won't feel like cooking, or do they just want to drive you fucking crazy? Do you ever stop and think that maybe, just maybe, Becky, I don't want your fucking casserole, that I don't want to see your face at my door, and I do not want to make conversation with you either. I can't converse with you, Becky, because I have some problems I need to sort out. Like, how the fuck am I supposed to cover up a murder for my son? Do you have that same problem, Becky? I really don't think you do. So that is my little small excerpt from the book. Like I said, I think that's like the only little tiny funny part in there, not giving away too much. Or, like,
that was,
overloading everybody with a ton of gore.
That was cute. And I'm hoping Becky doesn't have the same problems, but she sure told her.
Right.
Oh, gosh. I think
growing up, like, my neighbor, he was, like, my brother's best friend. And, like, his dad mysteriously, like, I don't know, he died. And everybody, they ruled it suicide. And, like, for years and years and years, everybody was like, did you kill your dad? Because we found out later on his dad was actually abusing him. So,
oh, wow.
We were all for fish, you know, like,
Definitely, definitely. Well, I think on that note, we're going to take a short break, so don't go anywhere, AC, and yeah. James, that's you. You got to push that button now.
Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read? Check out erotica author Jennifer Lynn at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, jameslongmore.com for James and darkpoetprincess.com for Xtina. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room on social media, Facebook, unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, the new Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit us at our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
And if she should tell you that she wants me back, tell her no, I gotta go.
Here we are, hey, back with part two, and I'm sure Xtina has a new, cracked open a new box of Chardonnay. I'm on water, you know. I had a massive margarita earlier, and it's I'm still happy, to be honest with you. But I'm here with AC Witt, who, despite sounding lovely, it writes pretty. Pretty grotesque stuff, which is fantastic. I've got to ask, Ace, I mean, what made you gravitate towards extreme horror?
Like I said, it was just like my childhood. I don't think I could have wrote anything heavy from my childhood.
I feel that.
Any type of, like, weird fantasy, you know, like it just wasn't going to be any other genre.
I do think it's funny. I can't remember who said it, James. We were on the show, and they said that they were going to try writing a romance, but they thought that the first kill would probably, you know, mess up the love story or something.
Yes, exactly.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, I remember many years ago, I was commissioned to, I wrote the first episode of a sitcom for a client, and I remember, you know, I was really proud, sent it off, and he came, yeah, brilliant, love it, Jim, it's really funny, so, but could we lose the torture scene in the middle, he said, merrily put a torture scene, it's supposed to be a sitcom, for God's sake, right? We just can't help it. I think that's just the thing. We can't help it. But it looks like it's hang on. I've got a button to press because we've got waiting in the green room. Probably my favorite part of the evening. When we say,
oh hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh no,
it's the lovely Samantha. Hi, we thought we weren't going to have you tonight. You just popped up.
My kids have been a hot mess this evening, guys. It's been intense. My little boy stuck an M&M up his nose.
Why do boys do that?
And he can. He couldn't tell me, so I just kind of realized it when I realized that, like, he's pulling chocolate out on his finger, you know, from his nose. That's not normal. And then my little girl is mad because I won't let her have the tub of ice cream. So I gave her the tub of ice cream, and then she let it melt. Now she's mad it's melted. You know, it's been a night. It's been a night. And then I was sitting here because we're watching Intervention, and I was like, oh, no. And Josh was like, what? And I was like, I have to call the show. I said, I wonder if I missed Amanda's part. And he was like, you haven't did your thing yet?
Oh, gosh.
My bad, guys. My bad. We have toddlers here.
Oh, I have a teenager. He's going to be, he turned 13. He'll be 14 in November. And I'm like, over here, like, is there a guy somewhere in there?
There is no guy that I have found that is useful.
No, and I definitely think being a boy mom, you spend half of your life going, why are you doing that? Just why? I don't understand.
How I felt. He's never did this before, and I was like, Josh, and he was like, what? I was like, I think Adam put an M&M up his nose, and he was like, are you fucking serious? I said, yeah, and he had to do, like, the thing where you, like, plug their nose and blow in their mouth. It shot halfway across the room.
Well, I don't think I've ever had the fun experience of shoving things up my nose, so, but now I'd like to try. No, just kidding. So what do you have to review for it?
See how hard you can shoot M&M out afterwards.
Exactly. So what do you have to review for us tonight, Samantha?
So Heather Miller sent me an early release copy of her newest release, and it is called Tales My Grandmother Told Me, and there's 13 tales inside, and this one's really, really good, guys. I liked this one. All of the stories are really different. They are really freaking creepy. They're definitely perfect for, like, around the campfire or, like, Halloween night or when, like, the power goes out. I mean, they're just really creepy. And they're not, like, extreme horror creepy. They're just, like, your normal unsettling type tales creepy. A girl's best friend really messed me up, and I'm glad I don't go camping. And then there's The Cold Man, and it's about, like, that cold feeling you get, like, on a piece of your body when you wake up in the middle of the night, but, like, it's only that piece of you that's cold. And then there's Crybaby Bridge, which is about, like, every small town has that story where, like, there's a place where, like, a mom's throwing a baby off of, like, a bridge, or, like, a mom and a baby died together. It's, like, one of those stories. It's really creepy. That's just a couple of them. Vice is one that, like, starts the whole collection, and it's about, like, people that smoke, kind of what happens when you smoke. It's really creepy, too. I gave it a solid 5-star. I loved it. It doesn't release until September, though. It releases September 27th.
Wow.
So I went ahead and posted my review and told her that I would, like, share it around, you know, before release, because it's really, really good. And it's funny because I know her more as a reviewer than I do as an author, so it was really interesting to read something that she had, like, actually written.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've known a couple of like bloggers or readers who decide, yeah, I'm going to try that. And they're really good because, you know, they've been reading and reviewing things for so long that they're, you know, it pretty much comes natural. And I do think if you're a reader, a voracious reader, you probably have a little, you know what not to do. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and
I don't think
that this is her first release either. I think she has some other stuff, but this is just the first thing that I've actually read, you know, by her that wasn't a review. And she says that these are stories her grandmother actually told her, and they are really freaking creepy. Like, I'm still thinking about The Girl's Best Friend, and, like, that one is really, really not right.
I love anything that can make you think about it and kind of freak you out when you're not reading it. Like, did you, I don't remember if you finished Stolen Tongues, if you read that one.
I started this one a couple of times, and I just can't get into it. So I'm actually going to send it to a girl in my Books of Horror group, and I'm going to send her Winterset Hollow, too, because I just couldn't finish that one. And the author sent that one to me just, like, you know, like, to be nice, because it was one that I couldn't afford at the time. So, I mean, I'm not going to, like, I just wanted to donate it. I've tried a couple of times, but the print is very small, and that's not it. Stolen Tongues has a very creepy, like, beginning. I just don't really like the rest of it.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I really can't say what it was, but I had two nightmares while I was reading that book, and it was definitely one that stuck with me, and I can say, and man, and we acquired a bird not too long after I had read that book, and I just remember thinking, if I hear it making any noises that sound human-like, I'm going to freak the heck out. Yeah, but thankfully that never happened. But I think I'm just a wuss. I really do, because but that one really that stuck with me. But I thank you so much for your review, and let me know again what the title was and who it was by.
It's called Tales My Grandmother Told Me, and it's by Heather Miller, and it releases in September on the 27th.
All righty, we'll be keeping our eyes open for it. Thank you so much, Sam, and I can't wait to
thank
see you
Samantha.
Have horse next week.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Thank you,
I'm sorry I was late.
Well, you know, we'll let you
right
just this once. Don't let it happen again. Don't let it happen again. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
guys.
Bye. Oh, here we go, the lovely Samantha. So we're back with AC Witt. So what have you got going on at the moment, AC?
Oh, I've got everything going on.
Oh, good for you.
As far as book-wise, I mean, I kind of, like, y'all were talking about, you know, book reviewers and writing and stuff like that. And that's actually how I kind of started out, because I had a book blog on Instagram, and I've blogged so many books, a lot of indie authors, you know, I like to support them, and I did a lot of theatrical reviews with it, so I read horror, all these horror books, and I would do theatrical reviews with it, so you can only imagine, but they were all bloody gory things, and you know, that was just kind of where I picked up and was like, hey, let's write a book. But I have so many, you know, work in progress things on my computer, and one of the things that I'm working on and hopefully one day will finish is like an actual book of short stories based on dreams I have. And they're the actual dreams I have. And you know, somebody with PTSD, your dreams are a little wacky and creepy and scary. So when I do remember them, I like to jot them down and write them and all that stuff. But it's hard to remember them sometimes because, you know, I do have to take sleeping pills to be able to sleep at night. So, but, you know, every once in a while I can get one in.
Yeah, I often have creepy things happen in my dream, but never anything to, you know, base a story, I guess, because it's just like a little moment here that I'm like, well, that was creepy, but there's like no story or anything, so I'm like, well, what can I do with it? But, yeah. I did know, James, who was that? Oh, Stephen Helms. He had that collection of stories that he wrote. And Nightly Visions, I think it was called. And that was just...
Oh, yeah, they were brilliant. Mm-hmm.
Yes, just scary dreams he'd had. And he did have a little voice recorder thing that he kept by his bed to grab and, you know, so he could remember. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I had one that was, like, it was so weird. Like, I woke up, like, even scratching because I was dreaming that, like, I had hornets burying themselves into my skin and living inside my skin. And they were, just living up under there until they, like, ate, like, everything. And then eventually came out, like, stuff bubbling up on your face and all the things. And I was just like, oh, my God, put this on paper.
Yeah, that sounds pretty scary.
it was not a fun dream.
I don't think I would have been going back to sleep after that, that's for sure. So, I would love to ask the horror authors on the show, what is your favorite Stephen King novel?
Oh,
if you
King.
Have one.
Okay. So, I don't read a ton of his stuff, and it's not because I don't necessarily like him. It's just because my attention span cannot keep with these long books. But the
right.
last one I read that I really liked was The Institute. And I really liked one. Yeah.
You know,
but as far as movies go, there are a lot other ones that I like, you know, but I just don't read a lot of his books because I can't
mm-hmm.
do the long books.
Yeah, I have The Institute, and I had started it, but, you know, sometimes even if it's a great book and I'm interested, it just is not the time. You know what I mean? I mean, I just needed something a little lighter, and so, but I will go back to it because I've heard many people say that that was a really good book, so I'm going to have to eventually. I definitely like the idea.
I'll pick up, like, some, you know, fantasy books randomly every once in a while because I think, you know, after you read so much horror that you need to cleanse your palate, cleanse your mind, you know?
Yes. That's exactly it. I had been just reading horror for a while, and it got to a point where I'd pick up a book, I'd read about, you know, a third of a way into it, and then I just kind of lose interest, and I think I just needed something different, and I picked up an angsty romance novel, and it worked. It did the trick, and I was hanging on every word, so I think it just depends. You know, and I have to say this, we have had guests on the show before, not too many, but we do come across them occasionally that say, you know, they're authors and say, you know, I just don't read too much, and I just don't understand that answer coming from an author. I really don't. I mean, you have to read. You have to read to be able to write a good story, I believe, anyway. So
I think a lot of it pulls from that. You know, like I said, I was blogging, so I've read a ton. Right now, like you were saying, I had picked up a book, and I probably got halfway through it, and I was like, just life happened. And I, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, I had to put it down because, you know, I have things to do. But, I think a lot of inspiration and little bitty details and bits will, like, come from what you read, you know?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, that's another thing, too, is where your inspiration comes from. I know that I love to hear the different answers. We've had, I think for me, the funniest answer was an episode of Seinfeld. I'm like, that was their inspiration for whatever it was. And so, I do love to hear inspiration. It is it's pretty gruesome when you ask an author what their inspiration is for their novel, and they tell you, you know, their childhood experiences. So I'm like, I'm really glad that that you were able to write about it, and you know, you didn't turn into a serial killer. So thank you for that. Keep writing.
You're welcome.
I mean,
I can't say the same. You know, like my brother, you know, I'm not sure what, maybe he gets out of jail. I'm not sure, you know, how he's going to go, but, you know, whatever. He took the other path.
Oh, I'm just thinking, you know, she's got a farm, so she knows where to hide the bodies.
Exactly. Let me just brush my hands off. Got these woods back here. No.
Yikes. But it does seem like, you know, working with the animals and stuff like that, there's got to be some kind of a soothing, you know, atmosphere as well to be able to do that.
You know, it really is. Even my husband was like, when we first moved here, we've always been in South Carolina, but we moved 2 hours away from where we were. And, mm-hmm. you know, we first started getting chickens, and he was just like, you know, wow, I see such a, you know, dramatic change and, you know, how you're dealing with stuff just by taking care of these animals, you know. And it's true. It's a therapy. And it's crazy that I wrote this book and, you know, and it has so much gore and so much, you know, animal abuse in it. But again, that came from things I witnessed in my childhood. So I think that even gives me, you know, so much more appreciation and love for the animals I have. Yeah.
Right. Definitely, I can see that. So, what So, yeah, I was wondering, you said you're working on short stories now, a book of short stories?
Yeah. So those are my dreams. My dream.
How far are you into it right now? Like how many stories do you think you have?
I think I have about 4. Like I said, they're so slow coming. It's like I have to pick and choose my days. It's like, do I want to take a sleep until the night and sleep, or do I not and want to dream some crazy crap and write it down?
Yikes. So, yeah. I'm not sure what I would do in that situation. So, but I am kind of a wuss. So if it came between, you know, a scary nightmare or a pill, I think I might take the pill. I mean, I'm pretty sure James would not, because he's all things scary. But I'm kind of a wuss. I am. I have to admit it. Yeah, we have some of the guests that come on, and they will talk about their, especially if it's a genre that really creeps me out, like a, you know, like the demons and ghosts and stuff. And we've had ghost hunters on the show, and I'm like, oh gosh, I guess I'm not sleeping tonight because something they've said.
Yeah, so I have to say, this house that I'm living in now, we moved here, and it was built in the late 60s, and I am telling you, there were some things going on, and I was like, okay, no.
So what are you reading right now? Anything good?
I'm actually not reading anything right now at life, but I mean, I can recommend, like, you know, I have, my favorite author is Chris Carter, by far, you know, not the X-Files Chris Carter. Everybody asks me that all the time. The X-Files Chris Carter? this Chris Carter, he was a criminal psychologist, actually, and he just kind of, like, up and started writing books and quit his job and just became a writer, and he has a series, and his series is a Robert Hunter series. So it's like a detective series, but he writes some like pretty gruesome, extreme thriller stuff. And so I love his series. It's the best.
Yeah, it's funny, I will have like a guest on the show and they'll send me a book and I'll get reading it and I'm just so excited to read this book, and then I have to, you know, the next show comes up and I have to read something for them, and I have to put down this book and I feel like I'm cheating. So like right now I must have like 3 or 4 books going at the same time, and I feel like, you know, don't make eye contact with book number 1 because they'll be really mad that I'm on to book number 3 now, you know.
Yes. I can't, like, I know so many people that will have me read like 3 or 4 books at a time. I'm like, I'm doing that.
Yes, it's not easy. It's not, but yeah. But we are just about out of time for our show, AC, and I want to thank you so much for coming on. And as soon as you get those that book of short stories, we'll have to have it back on. And yeah, and for all of our listeners out there, go out and buy Keeping Adam's Secrets by AC Witt. And thank you so much, AC.
Yes, thank you for having me.
No, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. We will see you again very soon.
Good night.
Awesome. Y'all have a wonderful night.
And you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, time has beaten us. Time has beaten us, and it is time, unfortunately, to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Pretend you're happy when you're blue. It isn't very hard to do, and you will find happiness without an end if you pretend. Remember, anyone can dream, and nothing's bad as it may seem. The little things you haven't got could be. Oh,
free. The world is mine, it can be yours, my friend. So why don't you pretend? You find a love you can share, just like me. The world is mine, it can be yours, my friend. So why don't you pretend? So why don't you pretend? So why